Welcome to the One for the Road podcast. My name is Mr. K. Alongside me, as usual, is C Squared. Tonight's topic, we thought we'd march down the Trump cabinet and give our impressions of some of the Trump administration's cabinet appointees and their performance, some of the good, some of the bad, just accomplishments, if any. As we'll get into some of these, we're starting to wonder what they're doing, lack of movement. So let's start out with, I thought we'd start out with Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. Now, I'll bring this up. I don't know if C Squared has any comments about this, but the first time I saw Rubio, he's sitting in the White House during the Zelensky visit and just looking really mad because it appears that I think he might have had a deal with Zelensky, and Vance and Trump are just destroying what any agreement he might have had with Zelensky. And it might have even been in ending the war with Russia or
the mineral deal or whatever,
right.
But what
right.
I and
it looks like the mineral deal went through.
That dude's a crook. And so
Zelensky?
Yeah. And so the bottom line is that I can't believe part of the deal is that you don't go to some other country, that you don't resign and go to some other country to start with. And I did read something, so we're not sure. This is unverified. We're not sure if this is true, but basically said that mineral deal included us providing the financial end of things to provide Ukraine with support in exchange for the mineral deal and rebuilding and the rebuilding of Ukraine. If the American taxpayer is on the hook for that, my head is going to explode.
And mine will too, so, given the former administration and regime was handing out money like candy to these guys to the tune of we're double any other country in the amount of money we've given Zelensky.
Right. And in order to get these minerals, who obviously are going to be mined by private companies. If you were talking about rebuilding Ukraine, that construction work is going to be done by private companies. If it is in fact true at all that the American taxpayer is on the hook for any of this financially, this is the definition of what fascism is. It is putting right. The taxpayer on the hook to give money to government favorite companies. So I'm going to be that. If that is what MAGA is all about, I'm a little bent out of shape.
And, yeah, I've been out of shape too. My impression is the money is from the last administration. Now we're going to take that money we gave you, the last administration gave you, and you're using that for whatever. And by the way, we're to get some of our money back, which we gave you, you're going to give us minerals.
Right. If that isn't the deal, then I'm going to be highly upset.
Oh, totally agree. And I'm going to be irate too. And again, let's stop the madness of giving this ex-TV star in Ukraine money.
Right.
That was the last administration. There's a new sheriff in town.
Well, and so do you want to go into do a brief one on what the DOD is doing currently? I'll preface it that, John, by saying if we're on the hook for paying for the rebuilding of Ukraine for in exchange for a minerals deal. Another report that came out basically said that everything that was saved by USAID and Elon's team has now not been saved. It has been reallocated to the DOD. And so if that is the case, then this again looks like some fascist play where we're not actually saving anything. We're not actually cutting our budget. We're just reallocating it to a different group of crooks that are my favorite crooks, opposed to somebody else's favorite crooks, man.
This
is ridiculous. That is not, if any of these rumors are true, it's just beyond belief.
Right, and horribly disappointing given the platform Mr. Trump was on when he was campaigning.
Right.
I mean, in the beginning, it seemed like, you know, why is he doing this? It's like, because this is what the American public wanted. We wanted Doge. We wanted
a thinner
government. We wanted, you know, the USAID, which was just this horribly corrupt entity, out of business.
Right. No, exactly. And that was great until we found out that you're just going to, you know, divert that to somebody else. Because one of the biggest problems the government has, is, which was illustrated by USAID, is the fact that we are accruing an absurd amount of debt, and that money is being distributed to, in the USAID category, anything from NGOs and foundations and universities and media outlets and whatever else in there is being distributed to them, which is basically fascism, right? The government is on the hook to support their favorite private industry. If you shut down USAID and find a bunch of other government contracts to actually disperse the same amount of money, it's the same fascism with a different group. That's not MAGA. Maybe it is MAGA. If that's the case, I'm not on board. You know, the whole idea was, how do I shrink the government 90%, man?
Yeah.
Answer to that is that I'm not giving all these. I'm shutting down these operations. I'm not writing a 10 million new contracts with independent companies to do this work. The contracts don't exist. The work doesn't exist. We don't need it, and I don't want it, and I'm not paying for it. How's that, man?
Right. We'll come back to the Department of Defense, because we're going to talk about the head of the Department of Defense.
Well, and this can just be random discussions, folks, because I want to keep, from an issues perspective, this moving in a way that is relevant to one issue that leads right into the other issue. And which seemed relevant from Ukraine, USAID, Defense Department, and where this money trail is going.
We're all good. So Rubio lately has been reviewing the visa statuses of Columbia and some other colleges. There was a disturbance on Columbia's university. 80 anti-Palestinian protesters were trying to take over the library where students were taking their final exams. Rubio is in charge of reviewing the visa statuses of those people. By the way, under Rubio, more than 1,800 students have lost their visa statuses.
So,
due to the administration's crackdown of immigration. Go ahead, Steve.
So, I think we should go into other aspects of immigration too, but I'm so glad you brought that up, John.
Well.
I
want
to talk about that. If you are here on a visa and you want to write an op-ed piece that says, I dislike X, I dislike Y. If you want to get a permit and stand in front of the university and peacefully protest, you should not be deported. You need to be deported, and this will eventually be deleted. People that are criminals.
Yes.
The top of the list. Yes. People that are criminals. If you are arrested for trying to take over a library or set something on fire or vandalize
or worse,
or do anything like that, you are now a criminal and you should, and your visa should be gone and you should be deported. If you are writing an op-ed piece in the in a newspaper, the college newspaper or whatever, that's what the U.S. was founded on.
Right.
Called
freedom
of speech. You should not lose your visa for expressing your opinion, because there is no right or wrong opinion, such as an op-ed piece. That's what the United States and the government should be all about. There is no right or wrong opinion. The essentially, I'm allowed to say anything I want as long as it isn't slander or inciting some type of immediate emergency situation, i.e. telling fire in a theater. The bottom line is, other than that, that's what America's founded on. So all the people with these visas, feel free to write op-ed pieces, because despite the fact that I lean towards the libertarian side of the house, the bottom line is you should absolutely be able to express your opinion. If you commit a crime, you're a criminal. You should expect to either be in jail or get deported.
Right. Yeah. And the two things that come up in my mind during your comments is there's degrees of criminality. I mean, there's murder and then there's jaywalking.
There's a
difference. They're both crimes. That's about the only similarity, folks. I mean, there's a degrees of criminality. The other thing is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Right,
and
exactly.
Sticks and stones and violence and crime and vandalism.
Right.
And you're actually committing a crime. Yeah, goodbye. It's nice.
Right.
Thanks for playing.
Into a little bit the story of the woman and her two American children being deported. I don't have the full details on that, but it seems quite odd that you would have like 19 or 20,000 gang members running around this country, and that you would go after some woman and her two American born kids. Maybe it was a clerical error. Maybe it was a vendetta from a field office. Who knows? But again, don't you have anything better to do?
Right.
They have
like
58 things on fire right now.
Yes.
And you're, you know, stomping out a match on the ground, and you know, what is the point of this? So that amounts to stay focused to getting rid of the criminal problem in this country with deportations, and you know, let's go to the top of the list of people that most Americans want deported. Criminals. People who are here illegal. And you could say, well, everybody's here illegally, and so they're all criminals. Okay. I agree with that. They've all broken the law. To John's point, the degree of breaking the law.
Right.
Let's put out the forest fires before we start stepping on matches.
Exactly.
Right? And so you have a bazillion forest fires burning. I want all the forest fires put out, and then you can go around and step on matches. And
the bottom line is,
why don't we stay focused here on achieving the most value because we have a limited time frame here, folks.
Yes.
And we need to use that wisely. And wisely is all hands on deck, all available resources are searching for felony criminals to get rid of out of this country.
Right. I totally agree. And, you know, I'm thinking priorities, folks. There's priorities. I mean, there's huge priorities.
Yep.
We don't have enough manpower in this government to go after even the top 60 priorities. So let's focus on like the top 60 priorities. Deporting this one woman has got to be like 8,000 on that list. Come on. You can't win every battle. It's ridiculous trying to win every battle. I am right about everything. Let's just give that up. Like you said,
this match
on the ground is nothing compared to the forest fire that's engulfing California.
Chicago, all these different places like that are a complete and utter train wreck. New York, all these places like that are a complete and utter train wreck and out of control. You should send squads of FBI people into there to essentially get as many of the criminals as you possibly can out of here. And, you know, it's in criminal gangs and stuff of that nature. It's the 80-20 rule. Let's get 80%, and the 20% is cleanup.
It is what it is.
Is cleanup work, man.
Yeah. So, yep, exactly.
I just thought I'd lead in from there. It is, again, somebody writing an op-ed piece in a newspaper, opposed to if you are truly trying to take over a piece of the campus, that's a fairly major crime. You deserve to be deported. If you are that dumb that you're trying to take over a building, you know, that's ridiculous. But still, let's focus on the gang members that are running, that are actually doing, you know, hits for hire, you know, because that's even way worse than taking over the library on a college campus.
Yeah. I do think the administration is every illegal alien is a criminal. They're all going, I don't care the situation, to your point. And it seemed like the focus in the first couple of months was criminals only. It's criminals only. If you're here illegally and you're not a criminal, you're good. But now it's like, I think their reasoning is we've tackled the criminal problem. Now we're going to go after everybody who's an illegal alien, and it's whatever.
Well,
I'm with you.
So here is the problem with what you just said, John. They have not tackled the criminal problem.
Right, exactly.
Put a dent in it.
Right.
So that is, I think, the core point is you haven't even put a dent in the real problem that people elected you and care about, man.
Right.
I want to see gang members with tattoos all over them being deported en masse. I want to see the statistics on crime rates in these cities going down. And if you have not produced that, you are nowhere close to the cleanup stage. Get to work.
Right. And I think what we're seeing now, and this is a theme, is the Trump administration started out pretty hot and pretty good and had a good list of priorities. And lately, it seems like it's fallen off the wheels a bit, and there's some really peculiar priorities, and we're going to get to some of them in this. I was going to talk about Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. I haven't really seen much from her. One thing is, let's bring it up, the Signal debacle. where one of these people let a member of the press into a chat room and they were talking about bombing Yemen and all sorts of battle plans in this chat room. Tulsi happened to be one of the participants.
Those two people were fired.
Yes.
But you guys use Signal. You use something that exposes phone numbers and your address book to some any you know, first year computer science dude knows that you would never use any of those pieces that do direct related conversations, because it is wide open security wise, man. How could you be that literally that stupid is what I look at. When I heard that, I was blown away that, you know, there are a couple of different apps like Signal, WhatsApp, I'm trying to think of Telegram, a bunch of things. Once you log into those, you are forced to expose your phone number and what eventually becomes your address book. What a security debacle that is,
right,
man.
Right.
You guys don't have your own private app, you know, app. Give me a holler. Mm-hmm. I'll build you one with SSL in it, man.
Well, okay. So you'll love this. Gabbard had answers to all of your observations. She claims Signal is fully encrypted and has been endorsed by the last administration and this administration as the most secure app to use during these online conversations. The other thing she said, which is, you know, and she was brought to task on, was like, why are these conversations happening online, period? These should be happening under closed doors. I mean, before the internet, all these conversations happen behind closed doors in super secure rooms.
So, and ironically enough, you could easily open a peer-to-peer application like Peer-to-Peer Miro Talk, who we want to thank for providing us with this chat. That is a peer-to-peer connection, and then you know who all the peers are in the room. Nobody's number was exposed because it is a peer-to-peer tunnel over the internet, and it is obviously encrypted in the same standard as passing your credit card information. So, why wouldn't you use just a free website to actually provide this type of service? And by the way, you could see everybody on the call.
Yeah. So, of course, her claim was the Biden administration used it the last year of his regime frequently. Nothing ever happened there. But the big mistake, folks, is you let someone into the press. She claims it's super secure, encrypted.
Nothing ever happened there. Maybe the Biden administration used it because Xi Jinping had his U.S. number logged into that stuff, and he loved to just listen in on Saturday night for amusement because he has nothing better to do. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll go into it later, some other reactions to the Signal debacle from other cabinet officials. Let me think. So, interesting parallel involving Tulsi Gabbard. The new sensational movie by Marvel has come out, Thunderbolts, this weekend. In it, Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays a character, Valencia Allegro de Fontaine. She is the head of the CIA. She looks exactly like Tulsi Gabbard in this movie. Tulsi Gabbard happens to be director of National Intelligence. Lots of parallels there. Little bit of a spoiler. I'll just say that Julie Louis-Dreyfus's character is not exactly heroic in this movie, downright villainous, and wields a lot of power.
Well, and ironically enough, leave it to our friends in Hollywood to paint somebody in a negative light that they potentially don't like. So you could have saw that script coming.
So there's a lot of things at play. One is this character, Alencia Allegra de Fontaine, was created in 1967. If you go back to those 67 comic books, she has strands of white hair running through her hair, just like she does in the movie, and just happens to be just like Tulsi. So this is a 1967 character. They haven't done much to alter her appearance at all from the 67 comic books to the 2025 movie. So that's at play. The other thing at play is, you know, Thunderbolts was probably in production in 2023 before Tulsi was ever elected. So that's going on too, that people aren't thinking about. But I'm telling you, as a moviegoer and even somebody going in, it's like, oh my God, it's like, that looks like Tulsi Gabbard and the head of the CIA.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So it is interesting.
There are strange coincidences that have happened.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's just coincidence, folks. And like I said, it's based off a 1967 character. And they didn't really alter her appearance at all. We're going to move on to RFK Jr. He's the Secretary of Health and Human Services. He's been known as an anti-vaxxer and now is kind of overseeing vaccinations. There's been a measles outbreak in Texas, albeit seems pretty small. Let's hopefully it'll stay small. He's on an agenda of Make American Healthy Again. C-Squared, you might know some other stuff you want to jump in here.
So I believe there's some stuff that came out about not putting fluoride in the water. He's right. Obviously in his past been very against vaccinations, which is fabulous. You know what? Out of anybody in the administration, RFK Jr. has produced more measurable things other than, we'll get to the Don and the anti-war thing, because that is very positive. But RFK Jr. has produced more measurable results than almost anybody else in the administration in the short period of time. So hats off to RFK Jr. I would like to see Make America Healthy Again too.
And yes, I think he's
going down that path currently. And we'll see where this goes. But and has actually produced some things in the first 90 to 120 days that show that he means what he says, and he's trying to actually do things and get them implemented. So hats off to him. Great job.
Right. The other thing too, they said, I saw this interview where he's like aligning himself with three other government agencies and they're all going to work together. And even like some of the former heads of Health and Human Services are like, yeah, that never happened during my regime. That should have happened. So that's a great thing, is, you know, to align yourself with other similar government organizations and come together on a coalition on common objectives.
Right. And at least keep and be able to keep an eye on the what is the overall policy, and is everybody in these organizations subscribed to that policy? is because you seem to have agencies doing disparate activities like gain of function research in the past, which were technically barred by law by the United States, but some, you know, small group inside of some small agency were able to get away with this. And that's, and so I would very much like a unified policy that is been legislated. If legislators do something stupid, like mandate any of this type of stuff, then it is, you know, your time to use your right to protest against them and send them letters and essentially say that we will, we are very unhappy and will not comply.
Right.
Which is different than taking over a library, saying not comply is much different. Maybe breaking the law, but it is much different of saying, you must come, I am not complying, and you must come to me, which makes you the aggressor.
Right. Exactly. Okay, we'll go back to Department of Defense. That's headed by Pete Hegseth. I don't know, this dude had some issues. He's the mastermind of the Signal debacle. He was fighting against this. He called the writer who sneaked into the room like horrible things, like he's an unqualified journalist and stuff like that. He's been trying to axe generals. His latest crusade is he's trying to get rid of 1,000 transgender military people. Come forward now and you can be released. And we're going after the people who don't come forward. The military's 1.3 million. And again, talk about priorities and stamping a match here, C squared. 1,000 out of 1.3 million active military members. He's going after 1,000. That's less than 1%.
Right.
And why? What is the end game? What is the priority? I'll have you weigh in.
Well, I will comment real quick just on a higher level of I'm all good with him getting rid of a bunch of generals, man. If they're totally incompetent, they should be out.
That
aspect. How many generals are there? And so if you're talking about getting rid of 1,000 generals, I'm all about getting rid of 1,000 generals if that's the case. If you have 2,000 generals and 1,000 of them are incompetent and have shown their incompetence, okay, bye. Need to go. But it needs to be based on their competency in what they are doing. Now dropping down to the next level of 1,000, I am trying to get rid of 1,000 people in an army of 1.3 million. I am totally on board with where you're at, John. And this goes back to the, you know, 80-20 rule and the stamping out matches while Rome burns. Stamping out matches on the ground while Rome burns. Don't you have anything better to do, dude? Right. Realistically, why don't you figure out? So the DOD, to my knowledge, has not passed an audit in a decade decades. I actually don't know the details. Why don't we focus? Why don't you get rid of some of those generals who can't answer where the money went to? And why don't you conduct an audit? Here's how I would determine how I'm going to get rid of some of the generals. I would conduct a snap audit there, Pete.
Right.
And anybody who cannot make their budget balance on a spreadsheet is immediately fired. How about that?
Right. And that would fall in line with what Doge is doing.
Right. Exactly. This really isn't that hard. It's pretty simplistic as to how you figure out how to get rid of the bigger problem, which is we have no idea where $22 trillion has gone.
I would make that priority one on getting rid of a thousand soldiers.
Is that there's ways to figure that out, and why are you not working on the ways to figure that out, opposed to doing media sound bites on total foolishness? Who cares?
Right. And I'll just go back really. So the thing he claims he's taking these marching orders, he's a former soldier. I'm taking marching orders from Trump. Trump told me this is my top priority. I was like, okay. I don't get it. This is a purge of active military people. These people are like flying fighter jets and they're competent. And I just don't get it. If you have a pulse and you want to fight for this nation and you pass the physical, here's your gun. I don't care your background or anything. If you want to fight for this country, you can pass a physical and you got a pulse, here's your gun.
Yeah,
get in there. On that, and to your point, the focus on that as opposed to you've never passed an audit, it seems is ridiculous. And some of these contracts are ridiculous, it seems. And who keeps winning these contracts?
Right. And that goes back to full circle around is F what is being said about giving all the savings to the DOD. How about we freeze all the budgets until he can pay us an audit, and then we'll start looking at potential contracts and seeing who exactly can provide the most value in these contracts if we essentially have to issue a bunch of contracts. And there is no such thing as a no-bid contract, right? Dick Cheney, Halliburton. Right, there is no such thing as a no-bid contract. I want to see essentially 1,000 pages on what I get for my money.
That would fall in line with the earlier movements of what Trump was doing with Doge. He would go in these Doge would go in these organizations and just be like, look at where all this money is, you know, and it's just ridiculous. All right, let's talk about a better cabinet appointment. Scott Bessent, the Secretary of Treasury. I saw a clip where he's trying to explain to the great Maxine Walters that Doge are actually agents of the Secretary of Treasury. They're not random unappointed people. They are agents of the Department of Treasury. It also seems that he has secured a trade agreement with China, and there's been quite the trade war going on. U.S. tariffs have been as high as 145%. China countered with 125%. And it seemed like over the weekend there was a really good meeting, and we might actually have a really good U.S. and China trade agreement. And I'm looking forward to the market's reaction if this comes true.
And so what I will say is he's very controlled. Scott is very controlled. He is somewhat quiet, and he appears to be producing things behind the scenes. Now, what I will say is that from the perspective of which I think we've covered before, cutting interest rates, which I'm not sure that has really been a driver of President Trump, opposed to Scott. The thought is that we don't need any more inflation. Thank you. I really don't care if you save the commercial real estate sector in this country. Sorry, boys. But you know what? You'll have to figure out how you're going to refinance that building at a higher rate, like everybody else, like every other American.
Yeah, welcome to America.
You know, welcome to America, and from that aspect, I can't believe I'm saying I agree with the Fed, but I do agree with the Fed. We don't need an interest rate cut at this point in time, and I don't believe. Scott has been in the forefront calling for that. That's more Ben, the Don, calling for that.
Right. So,
And I don't think that he has started. And you know, this is a little bit away from where you originally started on. But I actually heard something that said somebody else, another president in the 20s, and I can't recall who, it might have been Truman. It wasn't in the 20s. It might have been Truman, that he created a big riff with the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And so he did get that guy to resign, but the guy would not resign from being on the board of the Federal Reserve. And he made Truman's life miserable for his entire term. So that same scenario could occur. So be really careful about, unless you're planning on ending the Fed, which I would be all good with. Give Ron Paul a call. The bottom line, unless you're going down that path, I would essentially say be careful, because you could get that Truman-esque event where Jerry ends up on the board.
I'll just step down, but I'll be on the board
throughout your entire term, and does everything to make your life miserable.
Yeah.
So let's be smart about this. And besides, we don't need any more inflation. We do not need any more inflation.
All right. Please, no more. Very good. Yeah, history repeats. Let's go down to Pam Bondi. She is the U.S. Attorney General. Here's a fact. Largest seizure of fentanyl in the history of the world under the Pam Bondi regime is, I think, her only claim to fame. We've heard talks of opening the Epstein files. Nothing. We've heard talks of opening the JFK files. Nothing. We've heard talks of opening the Martin Luther King files. Nothing.
How about,
what do you think, Ms. Bondi?
Yeah. And I don't even think... those are not even the top of my list. So from the Epstein perspective, I don't need to see the files. Start arresting people. You got people's names in those files?
Yes.
Go put their doors in.
And everyone's seen the name.
I don't need the details, but I know there are some names that have been publicly expressed.
Yes.
They haven't had their doors kicked in. So what's up with that? I don't need to see the files. You don't need to prove the files. I don't want to see the videos. Go kick some people's doors in. We know names that are on that list. Why have you not done that? Why have you not done that? And the bigger list is, I would very much like to see the 9/11 investigations reopened again. How about that? And let's see. So who killed Martin Luther King? Who killed JFK? I really don't care. I could guess who that is, and they're all dead. So the bottom line is, not even relevant. I don't care anymore. It's so irrelevant, I don't care. 9/11, there are still people alive.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad decisions about that scenario, and I'd like to see them pay the price. And anybody involved with Epstein, send your agents to conduct a raid on their house and put them in cuffs, and we'll watch it on the news. Okay. That is what an actionable item is all about. Right.
Right. The other thing too is DOJ's findings look like some, especially with USA, people were committing crimes that ought to be prosecuted.
Again, right. That's another one. That's even is more relevant. Even more relevant. I was committing a crime up until yesterday, and you have done nothing. And, you know, it's like $2 billion went into my fund, and I did not provide a single unit of housing to somebody that I promised that I was going to help. And what, how is this person not being raided? How is this person not being raided?
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like the early DOJ findings bordered on criminal activity that should have been prosecuted. And
absolutely.
You didn't hear anything.
Right. That's a great point, John.
And I've heard stuff like, oh, we'll eventually go after him. I was like,
there is no
why not today?
There is no eventually. If you wanted to actually prosecute somebody, you'd kick in their door and cuff them now. Right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. What was it? I mean,
I did not want to go down the grading path, but since you have brought up what the administration is doing under the rule of law right now, F.
Right.
You get an F.
And what I find unbelievable is, you know, Giuliani and Spitzer, when they were in New York holding pretty much the same position, man, they were going after folks. Especially Spitzer.
Well, and so from that aspect, Rudy breaking the mob, talk about dangerous.
In New York.
Involved in doing that. And
he did it in New York, not Oklahoma, folks.
Still alive, so God bless him. And, you know, and in the aspect, and he paid the price. He has paid the price and got nothing in return. And so, again, God bless Rudy Giuliani. The bottom line is, he's done tons for this country and got nothing but sand kicked in his face after being involved with, you know, the Trump administration version one, season one. And so the bottom line is that that's a sad story. From that aspect, I would be convinced that Rudy would actually be arresting people at this point. And there should be tons of them.
Right.
And so you have, so we were talking about fires burning. You have so many fires burning, and we're not getting any action on any of these major fires. It's disappointing, and I'm almost wondering if season two is not going to be the exact same thing as season one, which is highly disappointing, you know? So I will say some positive things, not about, I mean, you covered Rubio, but I will just cover President Trump himself. As for wars, as for stopping wars, he gets an A. He gets an A plus. I will say that. So there's a pat on the back of negotiating between India and Pakistan, who both have nuclear weapons and could have lit up the Middle East like a Christmas tree. And so that's fabulous. And as for putting pressure on both Zelensky Putin to make peace, that is great. And I think Putin probably wanted peace anyway. He seems like a fair enough person. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet, so I'm not endorsing everything that he's ever done. He was part of the KGB at one time. The bottom line is that, but in that aspect, I think he legitimately wanted peace. I will give an A where an A is due. We have
he's even tried to
stomp
against Israel, Hamas
all over the place. And so globally, our policies have looked really good. So okay, yes. That being away from season one of The Apprentice, the White House Apprentice, being different than season one, season two is doing well on global affairs. I must admit, I have to say that. And I guess you can't have your foot in every door. But the bottom line is that domestically, internally, not other than RFK, what RFK Jr. is doing, pretty unimpressed, man, pretty unimpressive. Not much going on here, man.
I think it's been I'd grade him an A on immigration. I mean, compared to Biden, I mean, he has reversed everything Biden did. People aren't coming over the border anymore now that he's in charge. And the exact opposite, he's deporting people too. Now, again, to your point earlier, his deportation strategy at first seemed great because it seemed like priority number one's the criminals. I don't care about anybody else. Priority one's the criminals. I'm going after criminals. Great. Now it seems off the rails a bit as far as deportation goes. But you've got to admit, there aren't illegals coming across the border anymore, like wildfire under the Biden.
So here is what I will say about that, John, too. Okay, we have a border wall, and I love essentially our border patrol, and that's great that ICE is potentially arresting some very hardcore criminals, and that is life threatening. I mean, you're going up against a gang, and so let's hope they continue that. Those people are brave people because you could get your head blown off. That's absolutely true. So we need more of that. We need more brave people like that and rounding up gangs. But so Musk closed down USAID. How much of that immigration was actually encouraged by USAID paying people to come here, paying people to come here? That almost had to be a crime in itself. So there's another one into domestic law enforcement. How is that not being investigated? The government employee that allocated money via USAID to a foundation that was committing, a foundation or a NGO who was committing illegal activity by breaking the law and bringing people to this country. So who in the government was in charge of dispersing that money, and who did the money get dispersed to that took government money to commit crimes? I want the heads of those foundations. I want their doors kicked in. I want them in cuffs, right? I want the government employees that were involved in that fired. And if they if they knowingly were doing this, I want their doors kicked in and I want them arrested.
Right.
So the bottom line is that where is any of this stuff happening? This is presumably what MEGA was all about.
Right. Man. Right. You know? This was the mandate.
In my mind. And, you know, I'm not, I honestly think the MEGA platform came from, you know, Ron Paul's 2012 run, would have stopped a lot of this stuff before it ever happened. But the bottom line is that we want real results. We want criminals.
Yes.
And it's as simple as this. I want criminals locked up.
Or deported.
It really is as simple as that.
Right. So I think, to your point, I think the firings have happened. There's been no prosecutions. And that's the wild thing.
Where is this going?
Sound like crimes. At the least, it's fraud. I mean, at the very least, it's fraud.
You're right. Exactly.
It just seems like massive amounts of fraud were committed. That is a crime, folks.
Right. Exactly.
That's a prosecutable crime.
Yeah. And so if it is fraud, and I am not a lawyer, and I do not play one on TV. But the bottom line, yeah, thank God for that. But the bottom line is that across state fraud, money used to knowingly commit a crime, isn't that called racketeering? The bottom line is, that's a pretty major crime.
Yes, I think
people should be being arrested.
Right. Exactly. You mentioned before about global policy. Let's talk about the tariffs. So in my mind, some of the global policies have involved the tariffs. I think the tariffs have been going pretty good. I mean,
shockingly, that Trump gets a feather in his cap. I was concerned about creating inflation, more inflation with those tariffs. And it appears like the Don and Scott and whoever else is negotiating these things actually have this stuff under control. And that's great news. Hats off. Right. I'll give you an A there. An A is
yes.
Hats off.
Yep. The other thing I think the whole thing was, I think it was a shock to the system. And the goal was to make a deal. It was, you know, it's like, here they are. And, you know, Vietnam and some of these other countries just ran to the table. And I was like, all right. We can't deal with that tariff.
Well,
we've been in fair in the past. That's the other thing, though, is like, these were half of the tariffs that they were doing to us.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And I will say, I think I said in a previous podcast, we have done very well with our dealings with Vietnam related to tariffs, because I think those folks really want to do business with America. And I think those folks are legitimate, and I think they deserve an opportunity after 50 years to be preferred trade status and do business with us. I honestly think it's a legitimate country. And there is probably somewhat limited corruption there. I am also, absolutely fine with Japan, South Korea makes quality stuff, all kinds of stuff like that, you know, and we're negotiating with China. We get a lot of stuff with China. I am not a fan of the government in China.
No.
And I'm sure this podcast is banned in China and Hong Kong.
Right.
However, the bottom line is that there's lots of people in China, and I think they're probably fine people. The fact that you have a small percentage of the population controlling the government via the military is very unfortunate. But back to the trade policies as a whole, little bit skeptical at first. It seems like it's worked out. And the reason I was skeptical is the aspect of this country does not need any more inflation. We do not need any more inflation. No. So failed trade policy or lowering interest rates creating inflation doesn't appear to be all that smart. But wow, at least one of those two seems to be panning out. Yes. I will admit, hats off to President Trump and for making that happen.
All right. That's all I got for this podcast. I'll run down some stuff. You can reach us via email at oneforthroadpodcast@gmail.com. Our soon-to-be constructed website is oneforthroad.net. We are on 3 audio platforms. Those would be rss.com, Podbean, and Spotify. And of course, you can get us on YouTube. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube. For C-Squared, this is Mr. K. Have a great week, folks.
Thanks
for listening.
Tune in, as always, folks. Have a good one.
Have a good one.